How many of you understand that? If you have wisdom, it's going, you know, just like we say, part of what happens when you worship is you serve, correct? We're in worship service. We're going to get into that here. Well, when you have wisdom, with wisdom comes understanding. Wisdom produces understanding. And if you understand, you know, okay, if I'm wise and I fear God, He doesn't like evil. Understanding says depart from evil. Make sense? So that's why when you become a Christian, if you understand who Jesus is, and Jesus is Jehovah, I just became a blasphemer and a heretic to many out there on the internet, but Jesus, according to the Scripture, is Jehovah. Is He the Eternal Father? You guys are quiet today. Come on, don't worry. They don't know you by name. You can say it, okay? They know me. My name goes up on the website. And there's already many that probably say my name and spit, kind of like my grandmother used to do when they'd say something about Sweden. She was from Norway. Anyway, it's almost literally true. I can remember once, I thought she spit. She didn't, but she Sweden. That's what she did. I'm serious. Okay? Anyway, in any case, so Jesus Jehovah, is He the Eternal Father? Did Isaiah say that? Did you guys read it? Do you believe it? Jesus Jehovah. How do you argue with that? You don't. Right? Not Jesus, the only begotten Son? Does the Bible say that? Do you believe it? You can argue with it? So if the Bible says Jesus is the begotten Son, and said Jesus is the Eternal Father, and the Holy Spirit produced both of those, which, by the way, is part of the Godhead, Jesus, they don't have a problem with it. You got a problem with it? Shouldn't have a problem with it. Do people have a problem with it? People got a problem with it. People have a problem with worship and service? Yep, they do. So one of the things I ask you guys, in a community sense here, as I ask it, why do you believe what you believe? Is it because Luke said it? Because we teach it? Or this is what the Church of Christ believes? Now listen, there's a lot of denominations. That's what they tell you when you join their little fraternal religious organization. This is what the Lutheran Church believes. And they believe very little of the Bible. Okay? Just telling you. Been there, done that. Now there's Catholic Church will tell you this is the Catholic Roman Catholic Catechism. We're going to take you through it. You're going to be confirmed as a Catholic or as a Lutheran or whatever. And they tell you this is what the Catholic Church teaches. And I think they're very honest, both groups. The Lutherans say this is what we believe. That's great. They're telling you what they believe, not what the Bible says. And the Catholic says this is what we teach. And they're not telling you what the Bible teaches. They say this is what we teach. I think they're honest. And in that reveal themselves. Okay? So as in the church that Jesus Christ purchased, that He is building, we follow what the Bible says. Doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what Mr. Cooper said, doesn't matter what Clint Stone says, and it surely, we all agree, doesn't matter what Elvin Hopper says. Right? So, I was waiting for that. Okay? What I'm saying is it's irrelevant if we make a statement that's contrary to the Scripture. Amen? That's my point. So again, why do you believe what you believe? Worship and service, brethren, many of you go, hey, I understand this. But can you explain it? Can you present your case to somebody and help them see what the Bible teaches? That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because see, the Old Testament said worship took place at a specific place, a specific time, according to God's Word. That was in Jerusalem, once the temple was built, on the feast days. It says. Now the New Testament, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, He said, neither in Jerusalem nor on this mountain will we worship God's worshipers. He said, but in spirit and truth they will worship. And those are the ones that God's seeking, and they must do this. So under the new covenant, according to what Jesus introduced, worship does not take place at a set time, and it does not take place at a set location. So we do not come to a building to worship. Okay? Doesn't happen according to the New Testament, according to Jesus. Now again, Jesus said it. Do you believe it? Now, see, here's the problem. You get a bunch of folks out there and they say, yeah, we believe it. And then you drive up in their parking lot and their sign says, worship service. And you go, where'd you get that? And if you ask them in a pleasant tone, easygoing manner, you can almost visibly see the temp gauge rise on them, right? What do you mean? Well, I just noticed in the New Testament, it never says the church gathered together to worship. What are you talking about? It's all over in there. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll come back next week. You get all those passages for me where it says the church came together to worship. Okay? Deal? And, of course, you come the next week and they don't want to talk to you. Couldn't find it if they're honest. If they're dishonest, they're going to twist the scripture to their own destruction. As Peter said, right? So again, you have to understand that. So you say, geez, Kevin, why do you keep pounding on this? What's the big deal if somebody has in their sign in their parking lot or on their building, worship, 10 a.m. Sunday morning? Big deal. You're starting to use improper terminology to define things. And that's where you begin to go off the rails. It seems like a little thing, brethren, but it takes you way off the rails in a hurry. And what happens is you end up living a life of secular and sacred. You go right back to the old covenant system is what happens. Now, we're going to look at a lot of passages as we go to talk about worship and all that stuff in the New Testament. And we're going to look at other down the road. I want to get to some passages in the Old Testament. I gave you one last week that I stuck in there about serving and all that stuff. From Ezekiel, in the little picture where I had the guy with a nice apron over his, you know, we're going to serve. You guys remember that picture from last? You guys, any of you pay any attention to Bolton? If not, just give it back to me, okay? And if you're not reading certain parts of your Bible, let me know so I can tear those pages out for you. Fair? You guys are like, geez, what lit Kevin up this morning? It's a new year. It's a new year. Okay, now, so nothing of you, but look, it says, for on my holy mountain, the high mountain of Israel, this is a prophecy of Ezekiel. This is when the people are in Babylon and in captivity, declares the Lord God, there the whole house of Israel, all of them will serve me in the land. There I shall accept them. There I shall seek your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your holy things. So again, we know that that's talking about when the people come back. But let me ask you, the only time you could truly worship under the old covenant was when the presence of God was there. Now we've proved that. See, the Old Testament, God says, you will appear before me. That's what he said, right? That means he's there. Correctamundo? Okay. Roger Dodger? Whatever you say, Hosea, right? Okay. Oh, Hosea, can you see? All right, so that's the way we should sing it, right? All righty, so I'm trying to get you guys engaged. I'm moving a lot, doing a little funny stuff. Get your minds ready, okay? You're going, who's he going to come after next, right? That's the way I want you to think. All right, so that you're awake and alert. You know, where is he, right?
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're
that. That's right. Paranoia is just proof that you're paying attention, okay? So, again, we need to understand all this stuff, worship, service, and we're going to go through all this, and I'm deviating off real quick on a lot of different things here, guys, but we're going to roll into something that's actually going to make sense here shortly. So you appear before God. His presence is there. So you ask yourself the question on these prophecies of Ezekiel, when the people came back, did the glory of God ever occupy the temple again? No. So were they really worshiping? No, not really. Now, God was hoping that there's a few of the truth seekers out there to read the law and the stuff and go, hey, there's something a little wrong here. We're supposed to appear before the presence of God. That's what it says under the law, but he's not here. What are we doing? Wouldn't you think the Jew would go, what's going on? So God's going, there, we got one paying attention. He's trying to figure out what's happening. Good, good, he's ready. So then, after the Babylonian captivity, just a slew of prophecies show up about the Messiah coming, don't they? Check it out. They're all over the place after that. They just show up through the prophets galore. So the move is Okay, you're still supposed to worship me and serve me, but now the move is, now the Messiah is coming. Okay, got it. You know, and then there's all these prophecies about the Messiah and everything associated with him that would start to make questions bombard your brain as you read those prophecies. Whoa, you know. We've talked about them. You know, Gentiles are going to be part of this whole thing. Ethiopians, Egyptians, Assyrians are all going to come in and worship and serve God. Some are even going to be his priests. You're going, no, no. Right? Your head's going crazy. As a Jew, you're like, what? It's only the tribe of Levi under the law. What does he mean? What's going on? Kill Isaiah. Sew him in half. Well, see, Isaiah was preparing for the coming new covenant, wasn't he? See? And that's the whole thing God was working on. I'm going to take this thing and wipe it out. So Jeremiah 31 shows up. He says, I'm going to do away with all this. I'm going to bring a new one in. All these prophecies that if you're a Jew that's paying attention, you're going, wow, some things are going to change. Or, boy, God's allowed a lot of false prophets to show up in Israel now. So again, brethren, you got guys that will get out like me. And I'm not the first. I learned this. Reading the scripture, I learned it, heard it first through Jay Wilson and others about worship and service, and I had the standard understanding of most other people before they actually check out the scripture. Come to the church to worship, leave to serve, and all that stuff. Remember all the signs: enter to worship, leave to serve, you know, all that. Better is 1,000 days in the courts, you know, all these quotes from the Old Testament. I didn't understand, but once I heard it and I actually checked it out for myself, I went, wow, that's actually what it says. Amazing. Never paid any attention to that. Kind of like Acts 2.38. Never paid any attention to that. You know, how a bunch of people read Acts 2.38 and they run right over the top of that thing and pay no attention, do they? Okay. So, all right. A lot of introduction. Just to kind of prepare you. Under the Old Covenant, we looked at worship and service. Remember, worship had talked about that word shekah had to do with bowing. You guys remember that? Okay. Proskuneo. The Greek word means to kiss towards. Towards is pros, kaneo, to kiss. Okay? That's where you get this word, to kiss towards. And that's an understanding of how that word would be used in the Greek language. And that's why it was used when they wrote the New Testament in the Greek. Because it was an understanding that you were prostrate before somebody as an example of that. That was your show of reverence towards them. You're honoring them. All right, so that word proskuneo is where we see typically in the New Testament the word worship, just like we see worship for shekah, the Hebrew word, in the Old Testament. But they have a similar definition. Bow, right? Bowing, bowed. Similar. And you'll see it used that way. So let's get some of the guys, give me a hand. We'll read some passages. After I assign them. Everybody ready now? I hear a few voices. Careful now. That's right. You may be crying in the hallway shortly. All right, here we go. This is proskuneo, where it's used in the term of bow, bowing, bowed. Okay? Things of that nature. All right, let's see here. Let's go to... Mike Ferguson, I'm going to start with you. Would you go to Matthew 9:18? Mr. Love, would you go to Matthew 15:25? Okay, and Mike Wojciechowski, Matthew 20:20. And then we'll come over here, and Clint, we'll have you do Mark 5:6. Michael, Mark 15:19. Just to show you how this word is going to be translated as bow, bowed, bowing. Everybody ready? Okay, we did Matthew 9:18, I think, what I picked for Mr. Ferguson, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
While he was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live."
Okay, that's that word, proskuneo. He prostrated himself. Okay? And there is actually one verse where it's translated prostrated, and I'll get to that. Mr. Love, you're...
15:25?
Yeah, Matthew 15:25.
But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me."
Okay. You can check out the context, and I'm going to come over to Mike. Matthew 20:20. Who are you looking at over there? You keep looking over and grinning at. What's going on? Oh, the baby. Oh, naturally, yeah. It's Tiffany stealing the show again. Here we go. Matthew 20:20.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him.
Okay. So you can see that this has an understanding. You know, I'm bowing down in honor. Okay. And then we're going to come over to Clint, and then we'll go to Michael. So Mark 5:6 for Clint. And then Michael, you've got Mark 15:19.
Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him.
Proskuneo, proskuneo. I'm just showing there's some similarity between old and new, guys. That's what I'm doing here.
Mine is kind of a mocking thing. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him.
Right. Now that's where they were beating Jesus, according to the Gospel of Mark. So bowing. Now, Matthew 18, if you want to turn there, I'll get to my verse, what I want to be. We're going to go to Matthew 18:26. This is actually where it's going to use, where we get our English word prostrate from the Greek term proskuneo, and that's Matthew 18:26. Alrighty, let me see if I can find it. Alright, here we go. This is the parable that Luke did some time ago. Okay, verse 26, 18:26. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." This is one of the parables that Luke covered while he was going through those in the morning assembly preaching. All right? Now, you have bowing, bowed. Just like in the Old Testament, we had similar terms. Remember, we had karah and other terms that had to do with bending the knee, bending the neck. Remember all this stuff? Okay. In the New Testament, you're going to see similar terminology used with other words. Now, here's some passages where you have proskuneo, and in the Greek word that typically is translated to fall. Okay. Remember that we looked at the Old Testament passages where it talked about, they would shaka, bow, but also they would talk about they fell down. You guys remember these? Okay. I'm trying to show you the continuity, all right, how it's reported and recorded in both old and new. This word is the Greek word, I'm going to say pipto, okay? You can think of Pepto-Bismol if you want, pipto. All right, now there's several verses where you have in the New Testament the word proskuneo and this word together. And again, what you're getting a picture, brethren, is of somebody that's, again, just like in the Old Testament, they're not only, kissing towards, showing their humility, willingness to submit, but they're completely down. Fall down. Again, this is a sign of total submission and honor in the New Testament. So, there's several. I'm going to see if I can get to these. Hang tight, and I will pull them up, and we'll do a quick read of some of them, just so you can see this. And kind of get the idea. Oops, wrong one. They say no dead air, right, while you're on the radio or on the internet, something like that. Okay, Matthew 2:11. You guys remember what this is about, right? This is the Magi. All right, and Jesus. Matthew 2:11. And they came, that would be the Magi, into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped. They piptoed, proskuneoed. Okay? By the way, if you ever want to know about how old Jesus was when the Magi showed up, study that out. Study it out. I'll just throw that out there. That'll make you go, what? Now we'll see if you're going to check it out. Okay? How about this one? Matthew 4. This is when Jesus was tempted by Satan. Remember that? Matthew 4, verse 9. Well, we'll get verse 8. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, Jesus, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. So what's Satan saying? I want complete submission too, isn't he? All right? You got that? We're going to come back to a neat cross-reference passage I'll get to here in Luke 7. Some other ones. Matthew 18, 26, we just read, right? How about Matthew 21? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll read it. 21, 40, 43, 44. Therefore, this doesn't have worship. I'm sorry. This is just to fall, but for some reason I had it circled that we want to read it. I can't remember why now, but we'll read it. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to a nation producing the fruit of it. And he who falls down on this stone, will be broken into pieces, but on whoever it falls upon, it will scatter him like dust. And this isn't really the one I wanted to look at. I think it's more Matthew 26:39 is what I was after. About Jesus' attitude as he's praying to the Father in the garden. You guys familiar with this? Verse 38, Jesus saying to the apostles in Matthew 26. Everybody still with me? Keeping up? Okay, if I'm going too fast, say, whoa! Okay? Whoa? Did I hear that? Everybody there? We'll wait for you. Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 39, 38. We'll start there. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them, beyond his apostles. Look what Jesus did. Fell on his face and prayed. He piptoed. Right? We're going to Luke. Luke 17. I just wanted to show you that Jesus fell down in prayer. Now we're going to get back to where we're going to be looking at I don't know if this is what I want or not. I'm looking at it again. Nah, let's go to John. Forget it. Nope, I don't even want John. What I want is 1 Corinthians 14. I'm trying to jump, save some time, guys. 1 Corinthians 14. Aren't you loving it? I'm telling you, go here, go there. No, not really. Is my yes, yes or no, no? Was I vacillating when I said? No. That is what Paul said, right? Where are we going? We're on our way to heaven, brethren. Where are you going? We're going to 1 Corinthians 14:25. This is about the only time you're going to see any in the New Testament where you're going to see the word worship associated with assembly. Well, as I said, that they never worshipped. They just assembled. Yeah? I'm just saying if a guy happens to stroll in to an assembly, here's what happens to him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. All right. And this is talking about tongues and all that. Prophecy is for a sign not to unbelievers in verse 22 there at the end, but to those who believe. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church should assemble together, what's the church doing? Are they worshiping together or assembling together? Thank you. Want to make sure you saw that? Okay. And all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? That's if you're talking in tongues. Blah, blah, blah. Now, how many of you have been in a Pentecostal deal and thought they were all crazy? Well, the scripture covers that. And Lucas, thank you for raising your hand. I've been there too, bro. I've actually got showers of blessing on me from the mezzanine that were chunks. Okay? So, and I believe Mr. Brad, did he step out? Brad was with me when that happened. But I see Brad just stepped out of the... He probably knew I was going to bring up that disgusting event and exited. Anyway, Alrighty. But if all prophesy, or prophecy, and an unbeliever, an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. And what's prophecy? It's speaking forth what God has said. Okay? Convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, so he will fall, pipto on his face, and worship God, proskuneo, kiss towards God. In other words, demonstrate his submission to God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now notice that it's not the church worshiping, it's an unbeliever. Now it goes, whoa, okay? Because verse 26 says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, not when you worship. God uses words for specific reasons, amen? Alright. So again, what should be on the sign out in front of the building if you're a biblically based church that's allowing spiritual words, spiritual thoughts? What should it say? Worship or assembly? What's the problem? It's called a stiff neck. Uncircumcised at heart and ears. Now see, I'm just going to go out and there's people that don't do that on their sign and they're getting really, really mad and don't like me very much now. Doesn't matter what the scripture says. They're going to hate me for what I'm saying. Oh, didn't Jesus say if they hated me, they'll hate you too? Am I trying to make them hate me? No, I'm telling the truth. Have I become your enemy, brethren, by telling you the truth? I think Paul asked the Galatians that when they'd been captivated, bewitched, and fell back under the law. Okay. All right. Now, brethren, this is important. Again, last week I told you with the false prophet and the beast from the earth, which is false religion, false Christian religion led by the false prophet, and the beast from the sea, that's anti-Christian nations. The whole deal was they were going to try and get you to what? Worship the beast, directly or indirectly, or worship the dragon, the Satan, directly or indirectly. It is a salvation issue. Mike, do you have a comment?
Back to that 1 Corinthians 14, like a real, if you want to see exactly what that looks like, look at Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well. I mean, he makes it very personal to her when he speaks those things forth, but you can see that the response that she has, I mean, it kind of progresses along to the point that she goes to the village and tells me, hey, you got to come check this dude out. This guy's for real. And so when that information is given there in 1 Corinthians 14, we could look back for an example in that in the scripture, the woman at the well, to see exactly how that goes. And you can see that there has to be a humbleness of heart that goes along with that. If those that were to oppress the church were to come in to arrest us, most likely they're probably not going to be swayed by the conviction that they've seen here. But those people that, you know, maybe there's an honest heart there that are going to look for those things, they're going to glorify God or worship God because of those things.
I agree. And Wayne's not here. Is he not here today? Is he with one of the fellers? Or okay. We have a sick child, do we? Okay. Well, I'm going to share this story, and I'll ask for Wayne's forgiveness after I share the story. It's nothing bad. Wayne, when I studied with Wayne, I had the privilege to study with Wayne when he was immersed. Before we had the Barry's hot tub in their nice little deck area. And how many of you have been in the back of the Barry's house and been to the hot tub, the holy hot tub at the Barry's house, right? Okay. Well, we used to have a gentleman that was in the assembly. Many of you know. Some of you haven't had the privilege to meet him that I know of. And you're newer Christians. And a gentleman by the name of Jason Nagel. And is he an awesome guy or what? Yeah. Jason Nagel's an awesome guy. Had a privilege of, through Tara Bear, Terry Sloan, when she worked with him at Collins, had the opportunity to Bible study with him through Terry. So, anyway, when he became a Christian, that was kind of the de facto place where we would dip people, right? So, we get Wayne taught up, and he's ready to go, and we get there, and we put him in the tub, and up he comes, he steps out of the tub, and immediately he pip-toed. Not tiptoed. He pip-toed. He fell down and started to pray. See, because Wayne knew God didn't hear his prayers. And as soon as he came out of that water, Wayne knew, guess what? God hears my prayers. So what was Wayne's external demonstration to us? All right. That he was in submission and thankful for being able to worship and serve God. Boom. Down he went and he prayed. True story. Never forget that. I've told it many times, and now you can tell Wayne I've told him many times. Told it many times, always in a positive thing. Positive vein, right? Okay, so that's Pipto. Just a couple more. Revelation. That's the last book in your Bible. Just beyond Jude, you know, the second chapter of Jude, you go into Revelation. Isn't anybody going to go, there's no second chapter in Jude? You guys knew that, I hope. Right? Right? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, before 4th John, yeah. Revelation 4:10. Here's a funny story that Brother Jay shared about Jude. At some point you can ask him about it. Okay, Revelation 4:9. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne. By the way, who's sitting on the throne? Oh, you have to go back and read the beginning of the book of Revelation all the way through, don't you? Sorry, can't help you with that. All right. And when living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him. Now, question, brethren. This is a picture, a vision given John. Amen? All right? And where is John and all the 24 elders and the living creatures? Where are they at? They are in the presence of Him who sits on the throne. Amen? So would it only be appropriate they're pictured as worshiping? So the book of Revelation gives us this repetitive picture of either the elders, or the living creatures, or the people going, falling down and worshiping. Because why? Well, because they're in the presence of God. Right? So always remember, presence of God, under the law, worship. Right? Presence of God in Christ, worship. Amen? See the continuity, see the fall down. There's other words we're going to look at here. Other uses of bow, bowing, by other Greek words. Just to show you that just like the Old Testament, we have synonyms. And what we get is a complete picture still of what? Total submission. So that's the whole concept I want you to pull away from worship, is total submission. Alright? How about Revelation 5:14? And the four living creatures, heard about them previously, kept saying amen, or truly, or it's true. And the elders, what are they doing? Fell down and worship. What do we get a picture of? Up, fall down and worship. Up, fall down and worship. No. It's just, again, it's image, vision, down, worship, down, submit, right? 7:11. Put 7:11 is all about heaven. Okay. All right. Let me go back here. We'll get the latter part of verse 10. Well, we'll get verse 10 of Revelation 7. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You have to pay close attention to that passage and then check out. Remember I asked you earlier who's on the throne? Pay close attention to the book of Revelation. Okay? Who's on the throne? Because at one point you're going to see it's talking about God and then it's going to say the Lamb. Well, who's our mighty God according to Isaiah? So if God's on the throne, the Lamb's on the throne. No, it must be the... Yeah. Or there could be seven spirits before the... You know, whatever. I mean, you go ahead. All right? What's that? Yes. He certainly was. Okay, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders. And around's added there by the translators. And the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. Fall down, worship, fall down, worship. Now there's several more. There's Revelation 11, 16, 19, 4, and 10, and 22, 8. You can check those out. Okay, how about bow? Every time that it's bow in the New Testament, you put in bow, or bowed, bowing. Is that always proskuneo, negatory, rubber duck? It's actually going to be two different words that you'll have. Bow, okay. The primary one that you see translated bow or bowed is the Greek word kampto. Now you guys, again, I'm trying to get you a complete picture of what's going on. That's why we're looking at these. All right? And that's Strong's 2578. All righty. Let's see here. Romans 11:4. Then we're going to go to Romans 14. Well, we'll grab verse 3. It's in a passage about Elijah that Paul's quoting here in his letter to the Romans. Verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets. They have torn down thine altars. And I alone am left. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? And they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, we would think that'd be proskuneo. It would make sense, right? There, Baal was an idol, and they would, right, worship. It's not that word. It's not proskuneo, brethren. It is the word kempto.
What's the Hebrew parallel in the Old Testament?
1 Kings 19:18 is where you're going to find that. Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look that up. 19? 18? I can look it up, but it would take a moment here. I've got to... That's not right. I'm in Isaiah. That's why it's not working. I'm looking for 1 Kings 19. I'm in Isaiah 19 going, that ain't even close. Or that, I'm sorry, dear, that isn't even close. Ain't a word. My wife just cringes. I say that often. Huh? Hurrah. Yep, that's the one that we talked about. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's our Hurrah, Mike. That bow that we looked at that was a synonym, or not a synonym, but another usage in Hebrew that means bow. Okay? And that was one I could get my notes out if I drug it out of my Bible. That's what it would be, I'm sure. So that's what it is. Romans 14, 11. And this is from Isaiah 45. For it is written, and this is lifted out of a lot of context, but at least you'll be able to see what this says. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And every tongue shall give praise to God. Where there's another passage that talks basically about every knee shall bow. And that's going to be in Philippians 2:10, another allusion back to that passage in Isaiah 45. It is not proskuneo, brethren. It is this Greek word, kampto, which means to bend, to bow. That's why you'll see every knee shall bend, or every, okay? So let's go to Philippians 2. What do you say? Guys, do you find this helpful? When I, and Luke has told you many times, when I get up and do a study, I'm pretty thorough, yeah? Some of you go, wow, thorough isn't even close. You wear us out. But the point is I want to get a complete understanding, don't you? So I can see what's being communicated here. So verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow or bend. You're going to bend the knee of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And again, that's back to Isaiah. That's a reference back to Isaiah. Now, there's a couple other passages. Ephesians 3:14 is one of them, but I won't go there. Another word that you'll see translated bow or bend or things like that. Let's go where it talks about Jesus on the cross. Luke 24. What I'm trying to do is get you not to assume. You know, you can get a guy that gets up and teaches something like I'm teaching. Say, yeah, bow, bend, and that goes in your head. And so you think that's automatically prostrate, right? Or proskuneo. So you automatically assume that. You just read two verses. Oh, okay, that's what that is. So that was... No, obviously not, because you're going to have passages like this about Jesus in Luke 24. I think it's verse 52 that I want. Let me double check. Maybe not.
What word are we looking on?
Oh, verse 5. This is not Jesus. I'm sorry. This is the women at the tomb. Forgive me. I think it's in John where that other one is, and I'm thinking of John 19:30. 24:5. Luke 24:5. This is the word plino. Okay? It's a clino understanding. Okay. 24:5. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces. Now this, that's clino, and it means to slant, slope, incline, recline. So they inclined or reclined, you know, inclined their head down. Okay. Their faces to the ground. So what they do? They're in the presence of these angels. They figure, hey, this is somebody we don't really... Now remember in the Old Testament, guys would be in the presence of angels. What would they do? Boom, fall down. See, it's an acknowledgement, isn't it? Somebody that's worthy of honor, of not veneration, but reverence. Okay, so that. Now, John 19. This is one I think that's about Jesus, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. I'm operating from. Yeah, here it is. John 19:30. Everybody, well, you're close enough? I'll just say that. How many are using your electronic and just getting there faster than fast? Good for you. Okay. When Jesus, therefore, in verse 30 of John 19, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So again, when you see bowed, you know, some of the passages you get, this word shows up 7 times in the New Testament. I just did that to give you a kind of a rounded look at bow, bowing, bowed. Proskuneo and the associated words. Now, there was one other passage that I was hoping to get a look at, and I just have to take a look at my notes and make sure that it's the one I wanted. Hang tight with me. Oh! Nope, we got to do this first. There's another word that's going to be translated, I think it's translated once as worship in the New Testament. And that is the word threskeia. That's Strong's 2256. Go to Colossians 2:18. Now there's several words that are going to be translated. Again, every time you see worship, don't automatically understand this is proskuneo. Now this word threskeia, according to what I've been able to find out in my looking at the passages in the New Testament where it occurs, it's usually translated religion. That's going to be like in Acts 26:5 and James 1:26 and 27. But here in Colossians 2, and what when you think of religion, what do you think of? Somebody's ceremonial observance? Does that ring a bell? That's what that word means, ceremonial observance. Okay? So, what's your ceremonial religion? What's your ceremonial religion? Oh, I'm Buddhist. You know? Oh, you know what Buddhists do? You know, okay. Colossians 2. Just trying to help you understand. Colossians 2:18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship. Now, if you read that, you'd think it'd be proskuneo, wouldn't you? That you're bowing down before angels. Uh-uh. It's ceremonial observance. It's really not kissing towards. It's more of a ceremonial observance. It's a religion. So they would have observance of angels. Ceremonial observance. Sound familiar? Know anybody that has ceremonial observance of angels? You know, that they intercede on their behalf if you're, say, a truck driver or how about somebody that's involved with the transportation over ocean waters? Pardon me?
There's actually one for the internet too.
Is there not one for the internet? Are you serious?
Yep.
That must have been newly created.
Like
the
last 5 years.
Really? I had no idea. I'm talking about the Catholics, brethren.
No,
they have ceremonial observance, don't they? this angel and that angel you wear, you know, to represent that they're interceding, you know, all this. You guys ever? Right. Yeah. But they have angels. You know, and then they have saints too. Jared.
It's one of the reasons why Catholicism and voodoo work so well together, because there's a tie-in between the you'd think about it otherwise. If a person that practices voodoo would want to sell their house and they want to make sure it's a successful thing, they would offer a chicken. They would make sure to spread chicken blood around the yard. The Catholic response to that is to bury statues of saints in the yard. That's interesting how Satanism and the Catholic Church ties so well together. And my name is Jared Schaefer.
and that message was brought to you by Jared Schaefer. All right. But seriously, you ever wonder how these guys can read the Bible? And well, they don't read the Bible, number one. But when they come across passages like this, they don't go, whoa, aren't we kind of doing that? You know, that's why I say this is the only hope for anybody that's under that persuasion of Roman Catholicism, brethren. You have to turn them back to the Bible and help them understand. They can understand it. They don't need some guy to twist the scriptures to help them understand it. Okay, we're a little bit past the end of it. Do you have one more comment?
Yeah, and the thing is that with Catholics, the tough thing, and I've studied with a lot of Catholics before, and the thing is that, and I've always, it always comes back to this issue of Jesus having siblings, half-siblings, of course. They will always say the Catholic Church says he did not have any siblings. And you have to take them back to the Scripture. Oh, yeah, but that could mean many things. Let's strip it away and let the Scripture say what it says. You read the Scripture, you read the New Testament, and it very clearly and plainly says Jesus had half-sisters and brothers. So what's the point? The point is that they will take their tradition over what the Scripture says because they've been taught that they cannot understand it.
Okay. Appreciate your guys' kind attention. We're going to continue this next week. We'll get a little bit more of the worship issue out of the way, and then we'll move on to service. Thanks again. We'll go ahead and break.